The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is Dukes and Bell, my man Randy McMichael in today for Mike. And we're having a lot of fun the day after Christmas. Again, hope you had a great Christmas. And we got to talk about our Falcons, man, because this is a big game on Sunday. I say that to Coach every week. He's like, they're all big. I'm like, oh, this one's bigger. Raheem Moore is joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And, Coach, I know you guys just getting off the field. First and foremost, how was practice? What's the vibe?
It was good, man. A lot of people bouncing around. And it's a time of the year where they all get bigger and bigger. So they're all big, man. It's one of those things, man. Love the intro. Love you talking about that. Love the vibe. Love everything going on in the building, man. Can't wait to go play a big-time game, you know, at night.
Rob, real quick, because I know we don't live in the past. We always go forward and all those different things and everything. What was the biggest adjustment for you and Zach and the staff having a younger quarterback, a little different than the other guys as far as left-handed, all those things? What was something that you guys did you have to tweak anything for him to get him ready for last Sunday?
No, we didn't, Randy. Believe it or not, man, it was one of those things where the kid's been here for, it was 15 weeks,
right?
Not including preseason and the offseason. And he's had the ability to grow and learn and grow under Kurt and really get his stuff going, get everything going, get the procedure going, how we wanted to do things. Like I told these guys, we had our periods. We got a chance to go out there and, you know, be the one in certain situations. We did our Mamba periods, whether it was twos on twos, and you got to go spit the play out, call it, get the guys up there and out of the huddle, get them in and out in a timely fashion, but with the play clock being used and execute. And we were able to do those things with them last week also by simulating some 2 minutes and things of that nature that we kind of had been building throughout the year. So when his time was there, the young man was ready, and he went out there and he showed us how much he was ready by going out there and able to compete at a very high level. And I was really pleased at how clean he was able to play when it came to all those things.
Raheem Morris joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Guys, we talk with Coach each and every week exclusively here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're getting ready for the Commanders. 2 weeks left in the season, and then we'll see where this goes. Hopefully we are in the playoffs and riding high. Coach, I wanted to ask you about the move made today. We saw where you guys signed Emory Jones to the practice squad. A lot of Falcon fans hitting up Randy and I saying, what's this about? Can you explain and expound on that a little bit?
You know, simulations of the guy we're about to play, right? Guy that can move around, guy that can scramble, guy that can run some of his own read stuff and the read option, all of those things, getting some guys that are fleet of foot to be able to chase down, do some of the things that, you know, obviously they're very special players been doing. But it gives you a nice simulation of that on practice squad and something we did not have. You know, Kurt would be the practice squad guy normally. We had Nathan Peterman, who was not as fleet as foot of the guy that we're going to play. So you get a guy that could do some of those things and simulate some of those movements in order to get you guys ready to compete. Obviously, they'd be faster on game day. You know, obviously, we saw that yesterday with Lamar Jackson on Christmas. But, you know, these guys can run. But it's just getting used to it, giving the ability to give those guys a chance to feel some of that speed, feel what it's going to feel like when you're playing the edge, when they're reading you, feel some of the speed, when they're coming out of there, pulling it, doing some of the movement passes, some of those things. And this guy gives us a chance to go out and simulate some of those things.
Hey, Coach, is Drake okay?
Yeah, Drake seems to be fine. You know, obviously he came out, could have went back into that game like we talked about the other day. He had a practice today. I'm not sure we clarified him today. I think he was limited, but he actually went out there and practiced at a high clip. And I feel really good about Drake being able to play at a high level for us.
Coach, I want to ask you about your relationship with DQ. Obviously, you know, you guys work together. You know him very well. Did your relationship change when you got the interim job and you know, things changed here in Atlanta a few years ago? And how frequently do you guys speak? What's your relationship now?
No, it did not change, man. You got to remember, he was one of the main reasons that I was put in the place of that position. When he talked to Arthur and the group that made the change with our head coach the first time, I believe he was one of the guys that let those guys know that he wanted me to do it. So when I was able to talk to him, you know, on his way out, some of that type of stuff, and being able to give him an opportunity to speak to the team before he left on Monday, I think it was really comforting for everybody to know that we still were really close and we still have tight bond. And realistically, like we talked about even in that meeting that I had, I can remember saying that we all let him down in that process. And the only thing we can do now is make him proud, go out and play. And the guys really played together for each other and going out there trying to do the right things to put the things together on teammates. And we are extremely close. You know, that's my brother for life. He's one of those guys that has mentored me, has coached with me. He's one of those guys that I've been able to work with, work for. You name it, we've been able to do it within his profession, you know, in college, in pros, following the same path really as to become a head coach through the National Football League as a quality control coach and all of those things. So we've got so many similarities and so many commonalities when it comes to being that way. Those things will never change when you talk about true friendship.
Hey, Rod, you know, and you know that you've been doing this long. This is a week-to-week biz. We understand that as far as things, and you preach it, especially lately, about controlling your own destiny. Now, you got the help you needed to be able to control your destiny as far as you win, you're in, you win the South and everything like that, and there's other scenarios. But at the same time, how does the message, or does it change knowing the fact that, hey, if we go up here Sunday and we do our business, and then the following Sunday we handle our business, we are going to be the NFC champion. Has that message or anything changed as far as your approach with the team?
No, I mean, the message has been the same from the beginning. We talked about outrunning the South from the spring, from my very first meeting. And, you know, it really disturbs me when people say, you got the help that you needed. Mm-hmm. No, we beat Tampa.
You said disturbs.
We put ourselves in this position. You know, right. It's not the case on what people try to make it out to be. The reality of it is that we put ourselves in a position to be tied with Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who have the same record as us, and we have the tiebreaker. Mm-hmm. And it's up to us, and it's our destiny, with our pen in our hand, to be able to go out there and execute and do what we need to do to win.
Raw, you are a Super Bowl winning coach, Super Bowl winning defensive coordinator. You've been on Super Bowl teams. Does Jaden Daniels remind you of anybody that you had to prepare for through your journey in the NFL?
You know, obviously, you know, you just got to think about the closest that we can even talk about coming into the league, and he played yesterday in Lamar, and what he was able to do when he went from being his own read passer to this spectacular passer that he really developed into last year under those guys out there in Baltimore, and some of the stuff that he's able to do now and some of the control he has over the offense. You know, obviously we played against like Kyler Murray, and when Kyler is hot, man, he is hot. And he's hot as we ever seen. I was out there in L.A. when he was on an MVP type chase that year in 21 until he got down late and the season got a little bit nicked up. But, you know, this kid's coming to the league and played really well. He's had some clutch moments, whether it's been, you know, the Hail Mary, or whether it's been last week leading those guys down in the 2-minute drive and scoring to put them in position to win the football game. And like, all the special things that those guys do, definitely you got to have some type of a semblance and some type of reminiscence of those kind of guys. Just talking about very near future on what's coming into the league and the people that's coming to the league.
Because you're going up there, it's a road game, road night game. We all know those things they're always a little extra and everything. But you got a young quarterback going into an atmosphere like that. I wanted to ask you about this defense, because I know we saw, if you watch the game against Philly and everything, you know, Jalen was hurt, but the defense did make plays. Bobby Wagner makes a great one-on-one play with Saquon. What is it that they do defensively? Because DQ is a defensive guy. Mm. What do they do to try to confuse a young quarterback going into his first road game, which happens to be a night game up there in Washington?
You know, DQ has always been like this, but, you know, you want to get you behind the sticks and wants to be able to go out there and stop the run and get you into these known pass situations to try to steal third downs. And when they can get out there and try to steal third downs, him and Joe Witt are going to try to send people at our young fella and make him make plays under pressure. And they got two really good off the ball backers, and Bobby Wagner and obviously Lulu, that can absolutely cause pressure and cause problems when they blitz. And then they got a front forward that's rushing, you know, unbelievable, and they rush in unison with those other guys. What are you talking about? Dante Fowler, a guy we know well, or you're talking about some of the other guys, they got rushing up their pains and all the guys that they got rushing up in the front. And those guys cause havoc, and they've done a nice job of adding those linebackers to the party, being the cover down in the back end, playing some of their choice coverages in the back end with their fire zone stuff with their DBs. And those guys do a really nice job of doing all those things. And also playing some of their man coverage, playing sticky. They create all kinds of problems that way, try to create sticky coverage with guys rushing the passer, creating a lot of havoc. No different than what he did. Go ahead. I'm sorry. No different than what he did in Dallas.
Yeah.
Very, very, very good.
And he's talking about Dan Quinn there. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. We're talking with Coach Raheem Morris. Now, I was just going to ask you, you know, about Michael. And Randy and I were talking about how does he follow up that first start? Because it was clean. It was good. It was all the things you talked about. And Randy said this, and I'm curious, you know, where you're at on this. That doesn't mean he has to throw for 350 yards and four touchdowns, right? I mean, to follow up what he just did, it just means what to you?
Randy, we talk about this all the time, right? Stats are for losers, right? you can go out, I'm serious, man. I know people laugh at that, but if you can go out and operate and you can control what you can control, right? We did not know going to that game that our defense would score 14 points. There's no chance we knew that. But when it happened, that dictated the terms of the games and what we can do and how to control the game. And like in that second half, he goes out to put together a 12-play drive and a 15-play drive for scoring drives. Both should have been touchdowns. I think one ended with three with a penalty, and the other ended with a touchdown on the run by Bijan. But those things are special. So if you can go out and really dictate terms on how you want to play, you can go out there and play the game as clean as he played it last time, as clean as he played it last week. I mean, this kid's got a big ceiling, and we really feel good about the things he's able to do. You know, we got little small glimpses of being a progress through coverage when he had to, particularly on third down when he was lights out last week. And then he got a chance to see him do it in some of our play action game last week and actually hit a couple people, got a couple drops, things of that nature. But that's the nature of the beast. That's the growing curve that we'll have with our receivers and him. And if you can go out and play as that clean again and be able to execute some of those things, I don't really worry about the stats. I really worry about the guy playing an organized, clean, professional football game.
And last one for me, Rod. I'll go back to what Carl was.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking about, because after you bring Emory in to simulate going against Jade and everything, what is the biggest thing or biggest problem that this young man, like, because I mean, we know he's a great athlete, but what's the biggest problem that he poses and presses on defenses this young in his career?
You know, he's able to extend plays, and there's never going to be a first play with this young man. There'll be a first play, there'll be a second play, and sometimes a third. And you got to have the ability to keep him in the box, keep him in the shoot, keep him covered up, but he still can throw the ball and deliver it down the field. And he actually is, you know, coming out with one of the better processes coming out. So I know he can do that if challenged to do that, stand in the pocket and deliver him the football where it needs to go. So he presents all the challenges that these young quarterbacks that are really good and really talented present. It just so happens he's able to do it at a higher clip because of all his experience, somewhat like Michael playing in college football.
Everybody wants to know, Rod, what does a head coach get for Christmas? Mm. What did Raheem Morris get? Because something you can share. What did you get?
You know, we're more on the giving side when it comes to Christmas. When you become a head coach, there's not many people that give you things. But, you know, Terry did give me a nice bottle of wine. And I look forward to joining that and doing that. So we're on the radio, Terry. You can't be talking to me when you walk in, man. Terry definitely did that, man. He's one heck of a guy. Yeah, he just busted off while we were live on the radio.
Yeah. And, well, I'm glad he wasn't giving any player evaluations there.
we're not gonna let y'all hard knock us.
Yeah, exactly. Rob, very nice, very nice. Hey, did you watch Beyonce last night, yesterday? Did you watch?
I don't think you had a choice. I think it was on every TV in life.
And there it is.
Whether you wanted to or not. I mean, Beyonce came out on a white horse, man. How could you knock that, man? You gotta watch Beyonce.
Well, I'm curious, Rob, because my wife and my daughters, they call it the Beyonce Bowl yesterday. I say, no, Beyonce was on at the football game. Okay, this call it was different. Now, is Ms. Morris? Did she call it the Beyonce Bowl?
Every woman in my house called it the Beyonce Bowl. When I woke up in the morning, my mom was asking me what time was Beyonce on. I said it's the second game, you know. So definitely a big part of what yesterday was about, definitely a big part about the game yesterday, and she definitely provided that energy that NFL definitely wanted.
Rod, this is it feels like a bigger game because it's Sunday night. Obviously, the guys know, and you know everybody's talking about the playoff implications. The prep that goes into that, is it any different? Like, because this feels bigger, or no? And are guys talking about it in a different way?
Because you never want to make up stuff, right? You want to have a process, and you want to go through that process, and you get to a certain point when you trust that process. And the really good football teams, when you trust that process, you know what you want to get done and accomplish, and you hit those markers through the course of the week, and you're able to go out there and really get to those points and find out what's going on, what you like, what you don't like, maybe add, maybe take out, you know, sharpen the plan so everybody's on it so we can go play fast, physical, and free. Those are things you look for, right? So, like, not just do some things differently. Things always come up differently based on game plans and how you see stuff and, you know, what type of magic your coaches and your players try to create. But, you know, realistically, man, you go through the process and you play big games, you play small games, you play whatever game you got the same exact way because they're all just as big to us.
All right, last thing before we let you go. Falcons, Commanders, Sunday night right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our buddy Mark Raimondi put out that cornerback A.J. Terrell has the third lowest target rate among corners in the NFL with 400 or more coverage snaps, Ra. And this gets back to how you guys view people and view guys in the building and maybe how fans view them, right? And you see, well, I don't know if he's playing well, and, well, he doesn't have enough picks. But A.J. Terrell's numbers are screaming. He's one of the top two or three corners in the league behind maybe Patrick Surtain and Jalen Johnson. Opposing offenses are actively staying away from him. And I just want you to talk a little bit about AJ because I think that's a big part of something that we don't talk enough about.
Again, you know this, man, stats are for losers. But when you get a chance to put AJ Terrell on anybody's number one and feel good about it, and you can go home and sleep tight at night, you know, whether he lost the battle or he won the battle, you know he's going to be out there competing at a very high level, and it was the reason that it was important for us to make sure he was a part of this plan long term. And the guy like the kid like that, the man like that, the maturity level, the human, the worker, the person that comes in this building every single day and leads us on that back end is definitely a guy that we want to be around for long term. And I'm so happy that I got a chance to coach him for hopefully all of his career.
Ra, good luck on Sunday night. We're cheering you guys on, man, and go get a dub.
Appreciate it, coach.
Thank you, guys.
Good stuff. Yeah, that's Raheem Morris. Hey, Randy, we got to take a break. We're going to come back. He said you don't want to make stuff up.
No. You
don't, it's interesting, right?
Because we're grown-ups, man. We don't want to ever have no, you know, yeah. I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, nobody look at him crazy if he would come. Because one thing about Rob, Rob's the most genuine person. I met Rob before this stop, so I know Rob. Rob's the most genuine, ain't going to fake the funk for nobody. And that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, we'll dive into it because a lot of guys and a lot of people, you know, whether you're a Falcon fan or a football fan, it's a big game. You don't go in the building saying that. And that's right. Why I asked him. That's right. Exactly why I asked him. We'll come back. We got more. We'll talk about that. Also, we're going to be joined coming up by our man, Zach Harrison. Stay there. It is Dukes and Bell, Randy McMichael in today for Mike. A little mashup show, having some fun, man. Day after Christmas, we just talked to Coach Ra. We're going to talk about what he said to us as the Falcons get ready for their game against the Commanders. But right now, Zach Harrison is on the line, the big defensive end. Yeah, man, 6'5", 275, all muscle. Zach, man, what's going on with you? How you doing, brother?
What's going on, man? I'm blessed, man. How are you?
We're doing great, man. I mean, like, enjoying the way this defense is playing. You know, I have a thing on this show, Zach, where I talk about tip ball, strip sack, and we got a bunch of that stuff last week, man. Talk about the tip balls and you know, leading the touchdowns and turnovers.
Yeah, man, just, you know, just touching the detail in our, you know, starts at the beginning of the week, you know, detailing, you know, our game plan and having to make sure everyone's on the right page. And then when you get to game day, just execute, man, and do what you're supposed to do. You know, if we're taught, if we can't get there, get a hand up, and that's what I did. And it fell in Judon's hand, and he scored.
Okay, now – you know, this is I'm an old school guy, Zach. So so is Judon. So what did he give you now? Because you half that ball is yours now. All right, now
we're gonna talk about that later, man. We got games to win now, but don't let's believe I'm gonna remember that for sure. Okay. I got a touchdown. I'm gonna need something.
Hey, yeah, just make sure it's a tropical. Make sure it's a tropical island. All right, all inclusive resort, something like that. Adults only resort. Yeah, he got it.
So yeah, no, I'm gonna get something nice because he got six off me. So we gonna get something nice. But like I said, right now we got games to win. So
That sounds good.
Come down later.
Hey, Zach, I think the biggest thing, I was taught this a long time ago, is the growth from year to year as a player in this league. And you talk about last year. I remember we were, and I was talking to people about you after that Carolina game, like, this dude right here from Ohio State, you watch the Carolina game, he's got it, and everything. How has this growth from 1 year to this year, how has it been for you, and what is the biggest thing you think you've improved on this year?
Yeah, man, it's really just that, man, just kind of having a growth mindset, you know, just improving, you know, kind of, you know, had a little position change at the beginning of the year. I'm playing more toward on the inside of everything, and it's different than been playing on the edge all the time. So, you know, just kind of growing and adjusting there, just, you know, being patient with myself, but also, you know, pushing myself to get better, to understand there's going to be growing pains with it, and just kind of staying the course, you know, and you stay the course, and you get good results at the end of it if you put in the work. So that's pretty much, you know, my mindset, just trying to get better and better every day.
Zach, is there anything different as far as this defense and what they're asking you to do versus what happened the last couple of seasons for you here as you continue to grow?
Not entirely. Mostly, like I said, just a little bit more playing on the inside and, you know, being versatile in my alignment to be able to do everything from, you know, all across the defensive line. Just really just, you know, being a versatile player who can, you know, stop the run or rush the passer from anywhere.
Zach, you know, and we've always talked about, you know, you tune out the outside noise and everything. You're always taught that as a player. Tune out the outside noise. Don't let that affect anything about you. But you guys had to hear about the pass rush and you guys not getting home. What has it been about this recent transition of just sack galore? Because they come in bunches. What has it been about your group, this group, that has turned up the heat the way they have these past few weeks?
I mean, I know I keep saying it, but it's just really just the continue to get better and the growth mindset that we have. You know, like you said, a lot of the – we hear the noise, you try to tune it out when you hear it, you know, about us not getting home to the quarterback and, you know, just focus on getting better every week and being more detailed with our assignments and just, you know, having more confidence in, okay, we see the first one go in and now, you know, we just shooting now. So it's kind of a combination of a lot of things, but a lot of work, a lot of detail in the game plan, and a lot of guys just – going out there playing fast and having fun. And, you know, just good things happen when you go play fast and have fun.
Zach Harrison joining us, guys, from our Atlanta Falcons here on Dukes and Bell as we talk about the Falcons matchup with the Commanders. What are you seeing on film with this Commanders team, man, and the challenge that is going to be in front of you guys Sunday night?
Yeah, I mean, they're a real good team. They got 10 wins for a reason. You know, they're it's going to be a Sunday night game, and they got a good quarterback, a good O-line, a good run game. A real interesting scheme that, you know, we got to detail in it and, you know, make sure we fit everything the right way, we cover the right way, and we get in rush the right way. So it's gonna be a fun match. I'm excited to play it. It's gonna be, you know, Sunday night, everyone's watching. It's gonna be a good team, two good teams going at it, playoff atmosphere. So it's gonna be a fun one.
Tell me this, because we always like to have fun about colleges and everything like that. And obviously, you went to the Ohio State University, big win last weekend against the Tennessee Vols. How do you view this team? Because, you know, I mean, you've always had all the talent and everything, but you're in a situation where I believe this, and I'm a dog and all that stuff. But if this team plays like this, who can beat this team in the country how they played against Tennessee Saturday night?
You don't want to get me started talking about the Buckeyes, but I could go for hours, bro. I could go all day. Man, I honestly think that's the best team in the country. If you look across all levels and all sides of the ball, I mean, when we play our best ball, there's nobody who can beat us. You know, the challenge is going to play our best ball, and know the guys in the locker room are going to give it all to do that. They got a mission, and they're going to try to do everything they can to get that goal.
So what would NIL have been like for you?
No, Carl. He was in the NIL era now.
Why are you in my pockets, bro?
You know what I mean? Because they're handing out big checks up there. I mean, you know, they're handing out some big checks, bro. That's all. I want to get a feel for, you know, what it's like to experience that kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Nah, man, I got up out of it before they started doing these crazy deals. But I definitely was blessed with some opportunities in college, you know, with NIL. But like I said, man, I got out of there before they was doing what they're doing now. But I'm happy for those guys, you know, to be able to, you know, make some money in college and set themselves up for the future.
Hey, tell me something.
Go ahead, Randy.
Because I wanted to ask you something because, you know, I think the biggest thing that people don't understand, they look at you as he's a defensive lineman, he's an end, he's, like you say, inside pass rusher, but you play teams and everything like that. And so you're on those special teams blocking kicks and everything. How much fun is that? Because I can go from a personal experience watching a defensive lineman that's coming off of one of those crossers down the middle of that A-gap. It's not fun at all. Tell me, how much fun are you having playing special teams?
Oh, I love punt return. That's one of my favorite parts of the game. That you just get to go straight, and it's as little people boxing, I'm used to dealing with 300-plus-pound dudes. I get to go against some guys who are 245. So, I mean, it's nothing but fun for me.
Yeah, and you're doing a really good job on teams as well. No, I was just going to say, man, you know, when we talk about this defensive front and the sack numbers, right, that have increased, I think, since the bye week. That's kind of the point where things just started to get better and better. And I know you've been saying, you know, growth and all that. From an individual standpoint, did you work on specific pass moves in trying to get to the quarterback? Like, what was your focus as this season has gone along that is helping you and obviously helping your teammates get there?
Yeah, just personally, just during the bye week, a lot of self-scout. You know, I just watched myself and watched what I was doing and watched what the O-linemen were doing against me and kind of trying to, you know, refine my game and understand what I do well. And because everybody's different, you know, and everybody can and rush the same and play the same. So I got to figure out what I do well, my strengths and my weaknesses, you know, play to my strengths.
Love it. I love it. I love it. And it's always one of those things where you got big bro in the room. And I love Grady is one of my favorite players ever covered, talked about. Tell us about the impact that he's had on your career so far.
Nah, man, G, it's been awesome to have G this year, man. You know, last year, at the beginning of the year, I was with him. And, you know, he got hurt halfway through, so I kind of missed the second half of the season with him. But now, you know, being with him this year, you know, just being able to talk him through things, talk with him through stuff, and you just watch him play. You know, he plays at such a high level with a lot of high effort, and just kind of watching him, how he does his business on and off the field, you know, just kind of he's been a real bonus for me to have as a vet in the room to watch out and watch how they operate.
Love it.
Zach, what did you watch yesterday, man? Did you watch the football or did you watch more basketball?
I watched football, bro. I'm not watching basketball. I was watching football.
All football. Okay. Yeah. We were talking about the NBA owning Christmas, and then here comes the NFL on Christmas Day, and everybody's like, yeah, whatever.
Oh, yeah, no, I was watching football, bro.
Hey, tell me this, Zach. How is it being Santa Claus now? Because, you know, you we ain't counting pockets of counting change and that, but you are the giver now. How has that been with the family, brothers, sisters, and all of everything yesterday?
I mean, it's really awesome, you know, to be blessed in the situation I am. Like I said, the Lord has blessed me so much in so many ways, and to be able to, you know, give back, because they don't ask me for nothing. My family doesn't ask me for nothing.
Right.
So, you know, when I get the chance to spoil them, you know, I take advantage of it, and I'm excited to be able to do that, you know, to see that the smile on their face when, you know, I get them something nice, or, you know, just kind of that, because they've done so much for me. They're the reason why I'm here. So, you know, to be able to give back to them any way I can, you know, I jump at the opportunity to do so.
Love it. Love it. Love
yeah,
it.
The
Love
real
it.
Blessing is what you just said. They don't ask you for anything. Zach.
Nothing, nah.
That's beautiful, man. Hey, enjoy. Good luck on Sunday.
Hey,
what's up?
Again.
What's up?
Zach Judon, make sure it's somewhere with blue water. All right, inclusive. They don't speak a lot of English. All right, that was a big time play. All right,
you thinking small compared to me, bro? You think small compared to me?
You about going over there with Australia or something? Or you want a car?
Just know. When you see me on Instagram out the country, just know. I'm just playing, man.
That's what's up. Hey, you're right, though. You got him a touchdown. Tip ball. You got him a touchdown. Zach, man, thank you for joining us. Good luck on Sunday, man.
Good luck, fam.
Yeah, appreciate it, bro.
Good stuff. Zach Harrison, the Ohio State. Randy said it, guys. He is progressing. He's getting better every week. Randy, he's got the size, too, to do some real special things, man.
Oh, you remember that Carolina game? And I remember we were all tweeting, like, damn, because we didn't know what to – because you remember when they drafted him? Everybody's like, oh, it's a project. He has all these – because a big kid has all these this ability. But it's one of those things where he's going to be a project where you got to develop him, you got to mold him, and then you let him loose. And I just thought, you know, because remember, it was later on in the year, because all of us were asking, why this kid ain't playing? And then he gets an opportunity to go out there. And my biggest thing, and when you look at defensive linemen of his size and everything, when they're on the punt rush team and everything, that means this dude's an athlete, Carl. You know what I mean? And so since he's an athlete and he's not a starter, okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to put him over that damn snapper, like he said. And we're going to run these cross dogs and everything like that. We're going to push his pocket because eventually – and I'm not saying where how they view him going in the future, but I would think that you would view him as one of your starting interior linemen, Carl. But until he's that guy, we're gonna put your big ass on these teams, and we're gonna let you run. We're gonna let you run into people, right? And that's what he's been doing. He's been playing so well this year.
Good stuff, Zach Harrison here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That's Randy Mack, man. He's hanging out today. We're coming back. We got to talk some Kirby. some Christmas stuff that happened. We're going to get into the Falcon Report in the 5 o'clock hour. Lots going on. Stay there. 81 and put him and said that interview was awesome. Need to have Zach on again.
Oh, what? The best thing about our station is that people listen all day. All
true. Right?
And I like Brian. Brian just want to listen because he Ohio State. All right,
this is true.
Yeah. So I need to know something about Brian. All right, because we go through the same kind of barber shop.
Yes.
What is that Beijing that Rondé got?
Did you just say that?
I did. Yeah, they got that Beijing.
Yeah.
Right, they go to the west side of Columbus.
Yeah, correct.
But no, Brian is awesome, man. We appreciate you as always, Brian. He's an awesome listener and everything like that. But I think the one thing about Zach, again, he is – when you draft a player like him, you hope he continues to develop because, like, he's not where he needs to be, Carl. But I learned this a long time ago from an old school coach, Pat Jones. And I don't know if people who don't know Pat Jones was my first ever tight end coach that I got drafted. But Pat Jones was – Thurman Thomas's and Barry Sanders' head coach at Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. You know, and he always told me this. He said, if you're not growing as a player, you won't play long. You know what I mean? And I think that when I talk about the outside noise, because everybody automatically, as soon as once you're drafted, you're supposed to be a superstar. But then right. It takes some people longer than others, round to round. Now, some rounds get more, you know, criticized than others, but I think the biggest thing is the growth part about it. I think, Carl, you said it's about this dude is a specimen.
He is.
Like, Carl, this dude has the goods. And to me, it seems like he got the motor. That was my thing when they drafted him was like, damn, you look at the measure. Why the hell is he drafted so damn low? You know? I mean, seriously. Like, you look at how this dude is built. But then I'm watching Carl, and you look at him like, okay, he's getting better here. He's getting better with his hands placement. He's getting better with his rip move. Okay, we're going to let you tee off on a damn backup center snap or whatever. So I think Zach, they might have something there, Carl.
I do too. I feel like this is going to be one of those things that in a few years we're talking about, we got to steal. And when you exceed your draft position, right, in this game and you last and you become an impact player,
right,
that you now have exceeded expectations from not just a fan base standpoint, but from the organization. And that's when other organizations are like, man, we had a chance to get this dude.
Exactly.
And we let him go.
Exactly.
I totally agree with you on that. Randy, let me ask you about this because this just came down. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. We're going to talk some Falcons coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to rehash what Ross said. And one of the last things he talked about was making the game bigger than what it is. And I think it's just something we got to dive into because – I totally agree with him when you start trying to do that or you want to fabricate it and make it bigger than it is, mm-hmm. and you don't have to. But DeSean Jackson and Delaware State are finalizing an agreement to make him the head coach. For those who don't know, Delaware State is an HBCU.
Right,
okay?
Right.
He did an on-campus interview in recent days, and they're expected to come together here maybe within the next few hours, potentially certainly over the next few days. This is a trend we're seeing.
Carl, it is. Don't get me wrong. It is. And I'm so happy for my main man, Mike, the other day getting introduced over there at Norfolk State, where he's from and everything like that. And obviously, D-Jax, and he's from that area, the Philadelphia Eagles, all those other things, Delaware, everything like that. I just don't want it to get to a point where this is what we're doing. You know what I mean? We're chasing a name to chase headlines. Does he? And I'm not saying D-Jax don't want to do this because I hope this don't come off like he's just out there. No. If he wants to do this, then I believe that he's going to put everything into it. But it's a different game there, man. And my main man, Ed Reed, found out the hard way, Carl. You remember
he
Ed?
Did.
Hold on. Y'all ain't going to let me have what? You know, Ed,
I can't do the job.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, you just hope DeSean I believe DeSean is serious about this. My thing is that it's going to be a hard road for him and everything. But I was, because Oren told me, I was like, what? DeSean Jackson going to Delaware, okay. But I don't want – because you shouldn't have to do this, even though it does happen, at HBCUs to get the attention by going to chase his name. I'm so happy for Eddie George, Carl, what he's done and everything like that. I mean, obviously people use Deion as a template going to Colorado, going to Jackson State, doing what he did there, going to Colorado, all those good things like that. And hopefully I believe Eddie George has earned a right to go somewhere if he wants to. But that's the biggest thing I always fear about it is, like, you keep hiring names of these prominent black athletes to the HBCU, which I think is freaking awesome. But trying to, and hopefully people look at it from simple, well, we're going to make it seem like what Deion did is going to be here. And that's not always the case. That's the only thing.
It's fair. Randy, I agree. Like, we know the work that goes into being a head coach. And yes. I said this about Mike because people were asking me, oh, Mike Vick, what kind of coach are you going to be? I don't know. If he's committed, he could be a great coach. And when I say committed, I just don't think people realize this is a nonstop 24/7 kind of thing.
Yes, it is.
You don't get to sit around and just chill. And when you're at these HBCUs, I got a good friend who went to work. He was a facilities guy. I'm going to tell you the story. He went to work for one of the HBCUs. And I remember he called me and he said, Dukes, you just don't understand the resource disparity that is at these HBCUs where, you know, we talk about the Georgias, obviously, and some of the big state schools, whether it's Zach's, Ohio State, or Texas, it doesn't matter. The resources are completely different, but a lot of these HBCUs are struggling. And so when you don't have the money, that was Deion's thing, right? He got there. Deion either did two things. He spent some of his own money.
He did, which he did.
Or he went and got some investors.
Which he did.
Right? That could really help and knew that they were investing in Deion much more so than Jackson State. They were investing in that. And it paid off. But a lot of guys don't have the cachet to do that, Randy, or they don't know how, or they can't. And so you're right. You get into these jobs, and you brought up Ed Reed. I can't do the job without X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't provide me with those things, then I don't necessarily know if I'm the best fit for the job because I am going to be tied with, you know, one hand behind my back.
Right.
And so I agree with you. The names are great. And that, I think, plays on two things. One, the recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
The brand name, you automatically know who the head coach is because these guys were stars in the league, and that's cool. But can they coach? Are they committed? Those are the things you just don't know. And then it becomes either a wow hire, like Deion, or becomes a dud. And if it becomes a dud.
You don't want that.
No, but then it doesn't open up the doors for other guys to maybe get chances down the road.
Exactly.
And then you just don't know if these guys can coach. So I love it, but this trend we're seeing is very interesting, especially with HBCUs.
Yeah, it is. And I think the biggest thing, because you got T. Mathis over here at Morehouse, and I think he's going to do a great job. But I remember, Carl, when they were talking about Hugh Jackson, I was like,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
hell no. All right. Hell no. Okay, you can with it. I know his people who defend. No, hell no. No, 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 send him over there. But I hope D-Jax does well, everything like that. And everybody, because the thing about it is, Carl, is that, okay, these opportunities are going to continue to be given to these players.
Yes,
you know
they
what
are.
I mean? Like, this ain't stopping with D-Jax and somebody else who Oren's going to be going to talk to you in a microphone and say, blank, 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 got a job here. This, you're like, oh, damn, for real. Because Mike or D-Jax, they never coached nobody before. Well, now they got boys, they probably coached their son. But I'm talking about a major college football program being in charge of a university's football team. They've never done that. But the thing about it is that, again, Deion has laid the template for this. And I'm sure there's been somebody else before that will come out our 20 mentions and to, well, Randy, you knew it. Well, actually, because you know, Carl, how I feel about them damn well actually, folks.
Yes.
Yes.
Well actually.
Yeah. You can go actually kick rocks. But if you look at that, then obviously what Eddie George has done this year has been phenomenal. And then the coach who took over for Deion and won the Celebration Bowl. I mean, it's going to be these type things, but I believe that DeSean Jackson is taking this very serious. You know what I mean? Because that's the one thing you don't want. Like, okay, figure. I believe that he's taking his job because he's serious about helping these young men and helping his university get to where they need to be.
Yeah. And if he is, he will be a success,
yes,
too. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. We got a lot more to get to. If you missed Coach, we're going to replay that for you a little bit later on. Also, Zach Harrison stopped by as the Falcons preparing for the Commanders. And, you know, Randy was asking Coach about Michael Penix. The thing that I think we have to understand now is everything you saw last week, they had seen.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that they thought that played out where he was poised and you know, handling himself as far as the play calls, and all, they knew.
Mm-hmm.
And, Randy, we always talk about this. Players know before anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
When you're practicing with the guy, you've seen it. I've seen it. He's a dude. This dude is killing us. yet he can't get on the field. Man, what is going on? Like, you start to wonder, and I'm not saying that that was the situation where he was pressing Cousins, but Cousins opened the door for this to play out. And the Falcons, everything you guys we're talking about with Michael Penix, they've seen this. They know. Mm-hmm. Now, can he do it on a you know, a big stage as far as, like, with the pressures on? Well, he's done that. That's what he did in college. That's why I think that experience matters, Randy. When you start talking about playing in these big-time playoff games and playing for national championships or semifinal games, I do think that helps when you get to the league. But there's nothing like the league, though, right?
Oh, no, Carl. And I always use this example, and I talk about it a lot, is, you know, when we're, like you said, we see it. And I always say this. I'm not up there practice. We're not up there Flyer Branch and everything like that. As long as the message that Ra is preaching in Flowery Branch, that's all that matters to me. But you know what, Carl? I ain't in Flowery Branch.
Right.
You know what I mean? I ain't there. So I don't care. I mean, whatever, we'll analyze it. But I think the biggest thing about the player-wise is that, yeah, we see it. We've all seen it as a player. You see a dude, Carl, on that they're going to scout team, like,
yeah, right.
Oh, he need to play, Carl. He need to play. But, you know, but that's why I always tell people, there's this thing. They got this card, Carl. And there's plays drawn on it, right? And they hold it up in front of the huddle, offensive scouting huddle. That's you, that's you, that's you, run this route. And, boy, they be mopping folks. We had this dude one time, Carl, down in Miami. They called him the mop, all right, because he's a mop, folks. Now, we had the best corners in the league, Pat Surtain Sr. and
yeah.
Sam Madison.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. He's getting busy. Mop. But Friday, when they locked in, no balls were caught. All right, so, hey, put the mop in the game. Okay, we're going to activate it. We got a couple receivers down. And the mop, when the play was called, Carl, he said,
activate him.
Carl, we in that damn, Carl. Using this damn huddle, Carl. And the play comes in. It's called Z drive, Carl. U to Z. So you got the drive route, the drag route. I'm running the corner. I'm running a dig route. So you're gonna rub your guy off my route. You're going to run the drag. All right? Fine. Because he been mopping. Carl, we get in the game. Z drive comes in. I look at him like, hey, shoot, dog. Carl, he got a drive. He got a drag route, right? Why he run a takeoff? Why he done took a takeoff? Carl, you took a takeoff. I go, boy, what you doing?
What you doing? You don't know where you going.
I said, U to Z. Oh. Yeah, my bad, Randy. No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This thing. Don't nobody know what goes on there but them players.
That's right.
And
that's
them
right.
Players saw this, Carl. Carl, you know Bob as good as anybody I know. Have you seen anything like this fall off with 18? Because I say, is he hurt? What
something's
is it?
Up. Something's
I don't know.
Up. Something's up.
I don't know. But all them young men, them Jesse Bates, Grady, all
yep.
them, Rock owed it to them.
Yeah.
He owed it to them to make that move. How many starting quarterbacks of Kurt's caliber gets benched after a win? Don't happen.
Mm.
It don't happen.
It's a great point, man. It's something that I think is one of the great mysteries of this football season, that eventually something's going to get revealed, or maybe nothing does, and then you just realize maybe he
– just see what it
yeah.
by the time.
That's right. Hey, man, coming up, we got the Falcon Report. We're going to talk more about this matchup with the Commanders, and also how do the Falcons begin the game plan for Jaden Daniels. I asked Coach about him and said, who does he remind you of? We'll talk about it coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.